your arm and leave Dathomir at once.
And let you and that traitor continue plotting against me? Never!
You're going to die either way. It's only a matter of how painful it will be.
You've never heard of the Millennium Falcon?
Should I have?
It's a ship that made the Kessel Run in less than 12 parsecs.
Hey everyone, and welcome to Kessel Run Weekly. My name's Kristen.
And I'm Danny.
And we have some fun news. So, if you've been keeping up with the updates coming to Battlefront 2, you'll know that we have a new character coming very, very soon. We actually...
Very soon.
Yes, we have October 30th. We will be seeing Grievous.
Hello there.
General Kenobi.
So that's pretty exciting.
Absolutely.
I feel like I've been waiting all month, and I think I've been coming home a lot being like, is Grievous on there yet?
Well, so I feel like you can't really, I mean, like, can you really say something's slated for October if it's going to be in October all of 2 days of October?
I mean, no, that's what I'm saying. That's why I get getting so confused about it, because I just
when you
knew,
say October, I'm thinking like week one or two. Something like that.
At least before the 15th.
At least.
Because at least before the 15th, well, I guess 16th would be half the month.
Yeah.
So, I feel like it's only fair to do it somewhere in between there, if the latest, like the 20th, would be like my go-to.
Right.
But I know that's what I kept getting confused about, because I was like, okay, I know Grievous is coming in October, da-da-da-da, and I think I've been coming home like almost every day, and I'm like, where's Grievous? And I don't know if, is this a... When did they release this date?
They released all this information today.
Okay, I knew it, because I was like...
I say today, Tuesday.
Oh.
Yes. So as of when this episode is coming out, the Tuesday right before. So, yeah, yesterday in relation, I don't know.
Doesn't matter?
Time is hard.
Just say Tuesday. Just say Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Okay. So they released it Tuesday, which kind of irks me a little bit, because, I mean, that's the 23rd, which means... Why did we wait so long?
You're basically getting like a week's notice.
Literally. Like you said, October.
What?
Anyway.
In all fairness, it is close to Halloween, and General Grievous kind of is a mass murderer, so he fits the theme.
I don't care.
But EA should have been celebrating Halloween like we are all month.
Could you imagine all the porch lights that aren't going to be on anymore now?
Aww. It's all because Grievous is now coming out at on the 30th.
Yeah, so people are going to be like, I got off Halloween.
Yeah.
And so instead of going trick-or-treating, or instead of leaving my porch light on handing candy out, like I was going to be a good Samaritan to do, I'm now leave it off, and I'm going to be playing Battlefront all night. Hint, hint, maybe me. Maybe.
Asking for a friend.
I'm thinking about it.
Well, with the announcement of Grievous, they did announce some other cool stuff with it. So he is going to have an additional skin as well. I don't know exactly what this skin is going to look like.
Additional skin?
Yeah, additional skin.
How does a robot have additional skins?
You ready for this? It's almost as bad as the Chewie one. It's battle damaged.
I thought maybe you were going to say a cape or something. That was really the only thing.
See, that would have made sense, because I don't think this one actually has the cape at all. No, I don't think he has a cape.
Like, does he wear a cape at all, though?
Yeah, he does.
Okay,
in Clone Wars.
So. See?
Yeah.
See?
Well, in Clone Wars and Revenge of the Sith.
See?
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
I knew it.
But yeah, there's going to be a battle damaged skin for him.
So he's going to have a few scuff marks on him. Okay.
Right. He's going to have some carbon scoring on him. And then
whatever.
They also announced what his moves were going to be. So I don't have the exact names of the moves and stuff like that, but essentially there's going to be one where he like charges forward with four lightsabers. So you're going to be able to use two of the lightsabers. Normally the specials are going to be the ones where he does four.
Wait a second. You mean to tell me that this dude's going to have two lightsabers?
Mm-hmm.
You can use both of them at the same time?
Yes.
Why?
I mean, because he normally has four.
I don't care, though. But, like, I don't care, because do you know how hard the lightsaber characters already are? Do you?
Just wait till they get to wield two of them.
Exactly.
Oh, no. So wait, because the abilities, they're going to make you even more angry. Now, for people playing this character, it's great. It's awesome. It'll be cool. For people playing against said character, this is going to be one kind of a show. So we have that one where it's kind of like a dash forward and everything right. with all four. He has another one where he goes on all six legs. Yes, I said six because four arms, two legs, and charges out at people. And like whatever's in his way is blown out of his path. Like just
so this is nightmare worthy. I got it.
And then his other big move is that it's like a advancement kind of thing where two of his lightsabers swing like they do in the movie where, you know, how like he's doing that with Obi-Wan, the helicopter kind of thing. He does two of his lightsabers like that. So any frontal assault is automatically deflected and he's able to hit you through that. You look horrified.
Like, I might quit.
I'm really hoping that this doesn't end up as bad as the Finn character with the auto-targeting and stuff like that. Because that last move, although it would sound really cool for those playing it, sounds really frustrating for those of us having to play against it. So, what are your thoughts?
Like, I'm just not a fan of this. Because, I mean, I feel like the only one that we have that's even remotely close to two lightsabers is Maul.
Mm-hmm.
And he technically doesn't have two. He's got one that's got two ends.
Mm-hmm. So it does play a little differently. So that was going to be my question to you is what's the difference with Maul? But I mean, yeah, if you got two,
he still has one hand that you can do anything with.
True.
This dude's going to have two and he's going to be like, it's going to be like that Wiggle song.
our niece is obsessed with the Wiggles, so yeah. But I don't know. Like, I'm excited to get to play the character. Are you reading the actual things now?
Uh huh. The one you said sounds way scarier than what you said.
Oh, go ahead.
Speaking to his strategist side, General Grievous' claw rush ability lets him flee the scene in the blink of an eye. Once activated, he goes down on all six limbs and rushes forward, damaging and pushing opponents out of his path, an unsettling sight for enemies to behold, and highly efficient when in urgent need of an escape route. This is horror movie stuff. Is this game rated R now?
Right.
Because I might have nightmares.
But yeah. So the General Grievous character is going to be pretty intense, I think that we can say, coming out right before Halloween. So, yeah, got to stick with the nightmare theme. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, are you excited to play General Grievous?
I am. I'm very excited. I think it'd be fun to be him, but I don't think it's going to be fun to be against him.
Not at all.
We'll see. I'll give you guys my thoughts. Probably a little bit closer to November. That way I can kind of have time to play him for maybe a week or so.
Get all the actual frustration of playing against everyone who's playing Grievous at the same time.
Yes. I'm sorry if you come home to broken controllers.
Oh, no.
I love you. I'll start a jar.
A jar. It's going to be a swear jar.
Yep.
A rage jar.
Rage jar. That's good. That's what I was thinking. Because I didn't want to admit to everyone on the podcast that I say dirty words. But those games bring out the worst in you. So yeah, I'll start a rage jar.
There you go. So cool. So moving to our next piece for our news. So not necessarily news, but I did think it was interesting and horrifying all at the same time. So kind of
interesting and horrifying.
So last week we had Darth Vader number 22 come out from it's the Fortress of Vader storyline that they're doing right now. And I don't want to spoil a whole lot because it's really good, but I felt like it was worthy to mention because of for one, the lore side of it that it contributes to the overall canon, I think is interesting. So before Anakin becomes Vader, his whole thing is to save Padme from death.
Darth Plagueis is a dark lord of the Sith, so powerful and so wise, he could use the Force to influence the midichlorians to create life. He had such a knowledge of the dark side, he could even keep the ones he cared about from dying.
Well, as we've seen throughout how everything plays out, once he becomes Vader, we never hear from it again. Because, obviously, Padme dies, and that's it, right?
Yes.
Wrong, apparently.
Wrong? What do you mean wrong? I watched the movie!
So in the comics, so Palpatine gives Vader Mustafar. Mustafar goes and terrorizes the locals and all this other kind of stuff, because apparently Mustafar is a nexus of the dark side. Yay! So it's like, it's really awful. And then Vader also comes across this Sith Lord named Momin from the Old Republic era. So we've actually got somebody before all that, around the time of Darth Bane and all that kind of stuff. And in a nutshell, this Sith Lord promises Vader that he will show him how to bring his beloved back and how to bring Padme back from the dead. Let me say that again. Bring Padme back from the dead. Thoughts?
Oh, you silly people.
Because that always works out, right?
Right. That's what I was about to say. Like, literally, there's one single movie or show that somebody can successfully bring someone back from the dead.
Well, I mean, he's obviously not successful. We see how everything after this starts.
Well, I know.
I'm just
saying, though, like... Mm-hmm. Like, everyone always thinks that they can bring someone back from the dead, but then there's always, like, the forewarning, like, they won't be the same person.
Yeah.
But they'll be here, right? Yes, but they won't have a soul.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, something's always missing from those situations, so, like, it's just not gonna, even if he could, like, it wouldn't be Padme. Like, it would be a form of Padme.
Right. Well, and so I never really considered it because, I mean, the whole thing of the influencing midichlorians to create life, Palpatine does say that, to create it, he basically promises that there was a way to save her and he'll teach him how and all this other kind of stuff, and then it's just kind of thrown away. With this Momin character, he's coming back and basically saying, hey, yeah, so you know that thing that was like a passing creepy moment at the opera? Yeah, that create life part, that applies here. And that's what's freaking scary. Because, and that's the thing is that, so, and again, I don't want to spoil the whole thing, but basically Momin goes in and basically proves his credit to it. Like, he knows some stuff.
So,
the way that Momin died, like, it was in effort of things like this. So, he's powerful.
So, to your knowledge.
Also, he's a helmet.
So to your knowledge, would they actually be able to bring her back legitly, I guess?
See, I don't know. Because the way... Because Momin technically failed. So, I don't know. Uh-huh. And you know how Sith Lords, you know, they're wild about telling the truth.
Yeah.
They never have any, like, hidden agendas or anything like that, right?
Right.
They're always into telling the truth. So, I don't know how this will play out. I don't think it's going to play out very well. I think it's going to play out pretty bad because this series ends at issue 25. So there are three more issues to find out if Zombie Padme is going to be in the comics.
Right.
So yeah. But if you have not read Darth Vader number 22 from Marvel Comics, please read it. Absolutely read it. It's really good. It's very thought-provoking and really... really crazy to the lore overall and everything.
Well, is that all the news we have, Danny?
That's all that we have this week.
All right. Well, are we ready to jump into our main topic?
Absolutely.
I got a bad feeling about this.
No! No! I'm not afraid.
You will be. You will be.
We are continuing our Monster Madness.
Ooh, Monster Madness.
So this week we're diving into a Clone Wars episode. Man, I was going to say, you know, this is probably one of the scarier ones, but at the same time, it's
we
really
say that
not.
Every week, though, yeah.
But it's not, like, all, I mean, to me, all of Clone Wars is pretty dark.
It is very dark,
there are
yeah.
a few light moments here mm-hmm. and there, but for the most part, it's dark.
Very.
Like, it's just dark, y'all. But we're jumping into season 4, episode 19, which is titled Massacre.
Mm-hmm. So nothing good comes out of that.
Right. I mean, you can already tell by the title, like...
Sounds like a happy episode.
Most definitely. Don't you know there's butterflies?
Of course.
And, rainbows? Mm-hmm. Most definitely.
But yeah, so as far as this episode goes, so this is one of the ones that I find more creepy in Clone Wars. And there are a lot to choose from. A whole lot to choose from. But as far as this goes, so, I mean, we're dealing with the Night Sisters here, and you know my feelings on Mother Talzin.
She's creepy. She's so creepy. I hate her voice. Like, she kind of gives me nightmares. Really everything about her. Obviously, she's, like, a witch.
Yes.
A witch! A witch! A witch! A witch!
So...
So, what's interesting about the Witches of Dathomir is that they still use the Force. I don't know what side they're really tapping into. I'm going to guess the darkest of the dark. Probably darker than what we've seen.
Right.
Because it comes across as, like, almost, like, voodoo-level magic kind of stuff.
Hmm. No, it definitely is, and we get yeah. a touch of that in this episode.
Mm-hmm. And it's just, I can't describe it any other way than absolutely horrifying and, like, spine-tingling... creepy. Like yeah. it's just like the Night Sisters have always creeped me out though. I mean they lead in for one of the coolest returns in Clone Wars with Darth Maul and all that kind of stuff, but you really kind of get to see what really goes on Dathomir.
Right.
And nothing good comes from Dathomir.
You're absolutely right. So yeah, jumping into this episode, first I kind of want to talk about this fortune cookie that we get
yes.
in the beginning. So the fortune cookie says one must let go of the past to hold on to the future.
Hmm.
Do you feel like that resonated with you when you watched this episode?
One must let go of the past to hold on to the future.
I'm a little unsure
the
right now.
The only thing I could think of is that it may apply to Asajj's journey
yeah.
throughout this episode.
Yeah.
But I'm interested to kind of unpack this with you because the same thing with Brain Invaders. I didn't have a clue what that meant until we got all the way through it. And it was just like, oh, well, of course.
Right.
So, yeah. So I'm reserving, I guess, my interpretation of it until we unpack this episode together.
Okay. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to unpacking this episode with you so we can talk about this fortune cookie.
Absolutely.
So just a quick little recap. You know how it always gives us a little, like, quick little... Last on the yeah. Clone Wars. I can't think how it goes.
Where are they now?
Oh, thank you. I was like, what is it? Okay. So just a quick little synopsis here. Not necessarily what they say, but just kind of... Because this is kind of a few episodes past on where this happens. So we're at the point where Asajj is actually coming back to Dathomir. Dooku is already betrayed. Dooku is already betrayed Asajj. He's took on a new Padawan, which actually ends up being the Padawan that Ventress and Talzin put in his path.
Mm-hmm.
If you know, this is actually Darth Maul's brother, Savage.
Yes.
So, you know, they kind of took him from...
They took him from the village on Dathomir okay. the same way that they did with Maul.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes, I knew that. That's why I just couldn't remember exactly where he came from. I thought it was Dathomir.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dathomir.
But I felt like they traveled, so that's why I got a little confused. Cause like,
it was the other side of the planet.
Okay.
Because the crazy things about Dathomir is that like you have your men and your women, and that's how they're divided. Is oh. one side of the planet and the other side of the planet. The women are largely the witches, and then the men are largely the super horned ones.
Okay.
So, yeah. And it's a very creepy balance. Oh,
okay. So, very creepy. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, so they go and take Savage. They put some little voodoo stuff on him, kind of in a way. Mm-hmm. Like
that's what beefs him up and gets him all creepy, Frankenstein
yes.
level.
Yes. So Dooku takes him on. sends them on like missions, blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
So, Dooku, I think, no, it's not Dooku that realizes it.
No, Savage snaps, I believe.
Yeah, Savage is the one that snaps.
Because all of a sudden he realizes that he's a pawn for two people.
Right.
Because Asajj tries to turn on Dooku.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, she's already been banished by Dooku, but
she shows
up and she's like, ha ha, secret weapon.
Right.
And then, ha ha, secret weapon explodes in her face.
Pretty much, yeah. Exactly. So, yeah, we just kind of got past that where now at this point, they're still at ends and Asajj no longer has Savage by her side. So, after all this, Asajj is actually returns back to Dathomir. After hiding several months, maybe, I guess, after her encounter with Dooku. And she kind of returns because she wants to find herself.
Well, she has nowhere else to go, too.
Well, true.
Like, she literally has no place because with the Jedi and the Sith, you devote everything. You give up everything.
Right.
And everything means everything.
Literally.
So she relied on Dooku for shelter and much more than just training in the Force. So
right. Most definitely. And so she's returning. Talzin meets her, you know, shortly after she gets off her ship. They're talking. Talzin essentially, you know, consents that that's what she's doing. And she's like, you know, quit running. Stay here. Be with us. Leave the Sith ways behind. Leave Dooku's war and be loyal to me, be loyal to yourself, and be loyal to your sisters. So she tells her to fulfill her destiny and become a true Night Sister.
So I have a question for you in that. So do you feel like Talzin was coming from a place of, I guess, like kinship for them? Like, hey, we're in this together, you're one of us? Or was it more of like a consolidation of power? Because Savage was always her secret weapon, and she knew about that trap from the beginning, too. And she's always had this kind of fragile alliance with Palpatine, or Sidious, as she knew, and Dooku. So what did you make of that? Because they played it off kind of like, aw, come home.
Right. No, they did. And I think it's more to benefit Talzin. Like, I don't think she was ever thinking of it as a standpoint of, like, we missed you, Asajj.
Yeah.
Like, your sisters want you home. Like, I miss you. Like, it was never that kind of relationship. It was, I think she makes it seem that way. So that way, Ventress will come back.
Yeah.
And then that way, she can kind of use her to her advantage. But I don't know. It's kind of...
Well, and another thing, too, is that Asajj knows how to use the Force differently than them.
Yes, but she also tells her to leave her Sith ways behind.
I think that's more of just, like, the way of thinking as far as, like, passion is my ally, stuff like that, that kind of stuff.
Maybe.
Like, the code. I that's how I interpreted it. Because otherwise, I mean, she still uses the Force. Like, we see her use the Force throughout the episode, and she's going ham with her lightsabers and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's not necessarily that she abandoned that warrior side of her, but I think that the whole abandon the Sith ways was more of, hey, defect and come to us. Become one of us. Pledge yourself to us.
Yeah.
Thing like that.
That makes sense. I can see it made that. But I think Talzin had, even if it wasn't that very moment, I feel like Talzin's always got something else brewing.
Oh, she's... I like that.
Thank you.
Because she's a witch.
Whoa, she turned me into a newt.
Nice.
That just kind of came to me, so.
That's pretty good.
Thank you.
But yeah, so I mean, in as far as like the whole thing with Asajj, because the way that you see Asajj use the Force and the Night Sisters, because throughout this episode and other episodes, you never see like the traditional Force usage. Or manipulation. It's always like this green smoke and really creepy, eerie, like she even calls it the magics, is what she calls it. And we know it's derivative of the dark side of the Force, but it fascinates me that the Force is even more than just the light and the dark of what we used. Like, it's almost like the way that the Jedi and Sith use it is one corner for both of them. Mm-hmm. And then there's this whole other thing. Because we even briefly see that in Rebels with Palpatine.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. We do. So after Saw is just kind of talking to Talzin, we kind of get a glimpse at what Grievous and Dooku are doing. So Dooku obviously still has this longing, I guess, to...
Yeah, grudge.
Thank you. Yeah. So Dooku still has a grudge against Asajj and Mother Talzin. Mm-hmm. So he's like, calls Grievous. He's like, hey, go to Dathomir, wipe out Ventress, Talzin, and all the Night Sisters. Like, mm-hmm. just like, take it out.
I loved how he said it too, because it made me think of Order 66, the way he says it.
Oh, yeah.
He's like,
yeah.
Wipe them out. All of them.
Yes.
And I was like, ooh.
You got that somewhere. So, yes. So then, obviously, Grievous is a loyal little dog.
Basically. He's just kind of like, cool, man. Let's
do
this.
So, he agrees. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, on Dathomir.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice. No.
Hey, it's going there. Asajj decides to pledge herself to the sisters, and they perform some creepy
rituals. Yes, the liquid that she's in really freaks me out, because it's not water. It doesn't ripple. Like, the second that she goes into it, there's no waves. It just, like, consumes
her.
Oh,
my God, yeah.
It is so free. It's almost like she's just kind of falling into darkness.
Yeah, it does. It's very creepy. I don't like it. So they perform this little ritual, though, and... they speak some type of...
witch language.
Thank you.
Witch-like language.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know what to even call it.
They summon the magics.
Right. So then Asajj is reborn as a Night Sister, and then she performs this creepy eye roll.
They always do that. Even in horror movies, that freaks me out. That just makes me feel so unsettled. And then, like, when her eyes come back, it's like a chime too. It's like, bum. It's like,
oh yeah.
No. In case you didn't know, horror movies are not my thing. But
no, most definitely. No, I totally agree. So after creepy eyeball,
mm-hmm.
Celebrating, woohoo, welcome back to the sisters. I'm so glad you're my sister, says Curtis.
They're having a little party.
Right, a little party, little wine, little mm-hmm. cheese. No, I'm just kidding.
A little something. A couple of them were like dancing all crazy, and it's just like, who are you dancing with? Yeah. Like, what's happening here?
So, Grievous arrives with with his army to Dathomir.
Yes.
And... I think he shoots first. I think he's like shooting.
Oh, he absolutely shoots first. There's some droid fighters that come in.
Yeah.
And that's when, because Asajj hears them coming in. And
that's
she's like, droid fighters. And she's like, she's like, get to cover, get inside.
Because she hears it and she knows.
Yeah. And then by then, it's already too late. They're bombing the heck out of the little run there and everything and like shooting and all this other kind of stuff. So they catch a couple Night Sisters off guard.
Yeah. Poor Karis is one of them.
Yeah, they bomb, or they shoot at the one of the pillars. Like, of all the ways to go, like, the pillar, man. Get to cover! I found cover! Oh, God!
Yeah.
So one of the statue's pillars take her out.
Yes.
And she's like, oh, no, Karis. It rhymes with Barris.
Traitor!
I can't stand you. You're so weird. The battle continues, droids are marching out. I think Ventress, oh no, Talzin, I think, tells like Ventress to like mm-hmm. kind of head up the army, I think, or something. Like,
well, like she tells her that because she's like, hey, Asajj is like, hey, they're here because of me, it's all my fault. And Talzin's basically like, quit whining and help us out. You know the droids do this thing.
Yeah. It's pretty creepy, too. At some point in this little scene, Talzin, like, turns into a giant bubble.
Yeah, it looks like something from a daggum video game.
It does, but it's really cool because what happens is she, like, makes this giant green bubble around herself.
Mm-hmm.
And it, like, lightning. Like, yeah. She produces lightning that comes out of, like, this bubble, and it, like, hits the droids.
Yep.
Creepy, but cool.
Very cool.
It looks kind of like one of those, specials.
Yeah.
It's her special.
She's popped her special.
Yes.
That's what real unlimited power looks like.
Pretty much. You're not wrong, actually. So then Asajj realizes that there's a big droid army in front of her. She's like, we need an army. Like, we can't do this by ourselves. Mm-hmm. And Talon's like, I will talk to old Daka.
It's like, at that point, I was like, who the heck is a Daka? Like, what?
I know.
What the heck?
I think I had to, like, rewind it just to make sure I heard old Daka. Because I was really confused about who that was. And I was like, okay, maybe it's like a tree.
It's like, oh, there's one that we don't know about? That's cool.
Literally.
There's more of them. That's just what I was thinking I wanted more of in my life.
So Ventress then realizes she needs to do something kind of quick. Mm-hmm. Because Talzin's kind of leaving.
And everyone's dying.
Yeah. There's just a lot of things happening. So she essentially is like, go to the trees. That's our best like vantage point. Mm-hmm. Just climb. So they start getting up there. And I guess my thoughts are going to start picking out some of the droids since they're like in a formation.
Possibly. Yeah. Because she does make a mention of the fighting above and below.
Yeah.
But I mean, in all honesty, like with their little bow and arrow combo things, which are really cool, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't see that really being a good frontal assault. So take the snipers up to the trees and let the people who have swords go ham on the ground. So that's what I'm thinking. But yeah,
that's what you're thinking.
That's what I'm thinking. Okay.
Well,
because everybody's just waiting to know what Danny thinks.
This is true. Grievous then realizes Ventress leading the attack, so he sends out Oh, God, Danny, what are those things called? Defoliator?
Yeah, it's the defoliator, which I have a interesting tidbit about. It actually appears in a much earlier Clone Wars episode.
Oh.
So I'm pretty sure you've seen this. I don't remember everything that happens in it, but do you remember the race of lemurs that had a little village that rolled?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was the defoliator.
Oh.
That they were trying, but the dude was testing out on this planet where he was like, oh, you're now under the protection of the Separatists. And they're like, we're peaceful. We don't need your protection.
Yeah.
Cool, you're getting it anyways. And it ends up being a ploy that he's wanting to test out this weapon that he's designed. It's a Nemoidian Lurk Dord or something like that. I don't know. It sounds like a distant cousin of Lot Dodd. It really does. But yeah, that's actually where the first time the defoliator shows up, and we never see a successful test of it per se, because Anakin and Ahsoka and all of them like foil the whole thing. They foil the defoliator. But but yeah, so that's where the defoliator comes from. For the first time. So they decided, I guess, to put it in production.
Yes. And they're going to burn the witches to the ground with it. So as the episode goes on, we see Talzin performing more creepy rituals, as always.
I think as about Talzin six does. More. Yeah, right.
About six more after this anyway.
Right.
And she opens up like a mountainside,
mm-hmm.
which opens up like a room inside the mountain where we see Old Daka.
Old Daka!
So I thought Old Daka was like a tree, maybe? Or like a cauldron?
Like no. From a Pocahontas.
Yeah, no, but no. Old Daka is actually like legit a witch. She's sitting in the mountain.
I was about to say, they just like stuff her in the mountain like a troll.
She kind of looks kind of trolly-like.
She does.
Very troll-like. So I guess Old Daka is like the most powerful one.
That's what I would imagine. Because Talzin seemed pretty impressed with the spell that she conjures. Like, she's kind of got this look like,
she does. But, you know, if Talzin could go do what Old Daka's about to do, then why would she go Old Daka?
Right.
So Old Daka must hold majority of the power. Or she's, mm-hmm. like, so old that, you know, she's wise.
I mean, you don't earn Old Daka by being young.
Right.
So
I mean, you're right. You're onto something, Danny. You're onto something. I like the way you're thinking. So she goes up to Old Daka and asks her to resurrect the fallen sisters to aid in battle. Creepy. So Daka begins some chant of resurrection. The spell, like, it's the green, flies out into the
green smoke,
the open Dathomir there. And we see like these cocoons like hanging from like branches and like in trees and stuff.
And I always thought they were just like local plant life.
Right.
Like, I thought that's what that was.
But nah.
Oh boy, was I mistaken.
No, they're like tombs. Tombs for the dead sisters.
Yep. So I guess that's why the Night Sisters don't need large numbers, because they have all of these tombs, as you say, lined all the way up the path from their temple. And so it's like, if the Night Sisters don't get you already, because I mean, they're bad news too.
Right.
If they don't get you first, the dead will.
Only Valdaka performs the chant.
That's true. That's true. So old Daka's got to stay on top of it.
Right. Once the green gets out, it starts like billowing around the cocoon tombs, and out pops the zombie
apocalypse.
Pretty much.
And not slow and meandering ones.
No, they're pretty quick. They're pretty gross. They have like green coming out of their eyes, their mouth, like essentially any like open hole. Smoke comes out, like the green, like
naturally.
I think one actually like growls, like
oh, absolutely. The first time one, like, it zooms in on one of them and it just has this horrible scream. It's just like, oh, God. Because it's like, you want to root for the Night Sisters, because, I mean, they're kind of the protagonist in this story, per se.
Right, but they're better than the Joint Army, in my opinion.
They're the lesser of the two evils.
Maybe.
But, maybe. Grievous isn't raising the dead, so... But, true. Yeah, no, the zombies, it's just like, they fall out, and you're like, oh, God, is this the team I'm rooting for?
Right.
Because, like, she just unleashed World War Z on the entire separatist army that was on Dathomir.
Right. So, at this point, Asajj gets her army that she's needing in order to obtain victory. So they say.
Victory is the point of view.
Right. And I think at this point... Towson's like, okay, well, I've got a few things up my sleeve, because at this point they already know Dooku is in charge. Like, they're realizing that Dooku's the one that sent Grievous. Mm-hmm. Like, Grievous didn't just come on his own, you know, free will. So it's something funny kind of happens right around here, because she like tells her other little sisters that are, I don't know what they're doing. I'm not sure why they're even there.
I think they're just there to support her or something like
slave that. Slave sisters or something, I don't know. But she, like, gets them to bring her, like, an orb or something. And it turns out it's got a lock of Dooku's hair in it.
Oh, boy.
Right.
What could a witch possibly do with a lock of hair?
And it's pretty funny, because one of the lines she says is... he should be more careful when making deals with witches. And that made me giggle, like, really loud when I heard that, because I was just like, you idiot. Like, what? She's got a lock of your hair, and you're seriously attacking them? Are you stupid?
Well, and that's the thing. And so, I mean, and as we're going to see, like, we don't know the side of the Force.
Right.
At all.
We don't.
Like, I highly doubt that Dooku even considered that.
But would you just be okay giving... that Mother Talzin thing, your hair?
But I mean, in all respect, I mean, at the same time, would he not think of them as more fanatics? Like, yes, he gets these warriors. Does he know how he gets these warriors? Does he know that she pumps them up and all this other kind of stuff and does all these spells on her? Because if he knew that, then I feel like he would have been more cautious about Savage.
Maybe.
So that's my thing, is I don't know that Dooku really understood... the lengths of what he could do or what she could do. So I don't know.
This is true.
Because, I mean, I don't freaking know what they could do.
I mean, I don't either, but I'm just saying, like, and I guess because we're, like, more in a modern day here, where, like, any movie and show you see where somebody takes your hair, like a lock of your hair.
Or anything of your possession, period.
Yeah, like, don't do business with them. Don't piss them off. Right, so the sisters then bring in like a cauldron to Mother Talzin. She's doing, I think, some little chant over it or something, and then up pops a doll. A Dooku doll.
A Dooku doll. It's Dooku voodoo.
Yeah, a voodoo Dooku, if you will. So then she starts to use this doll to torture Dooku.
Which is so freaking creepy.
It is. It really is creepy.
But he knows who it is the second that it starts happening, too. Because, like, all of a sudden he's starting to get a headache. And, like, all of a sudden these warts start appearing on, like, bubbling up on his head.
Right.
And the first thing he says is Talzin. And then all of a sudden it just gets worse.
It does.
And he's, like, writhing on the floor and going nuts. And it's just, ooh.
It's really gross. It's really creepy. Mm-hmm. So at this point.
And those Magna Guards are no help.
No.
They're just standing by, like, didn't flinch or anything. It's like, oh, we're not concerned. There's nobody in the room.
Right. So Ventress makes it to Dooku's ship. Mm-hmm. And essentially he's like, come out and face me. Fight me alone. Prove you're the greater warrior. And then kind of make like a little deal. And she's like, if I win, your army leaves. If you win, the Night Sisters will surrender. Mm-hmm. So, okay. Dooku being a little, not Dooku.
No, Grievous, yeah.
Grievous, being the little cocky robot that he is punk. Like, I have always been greater than you.
Nice impression.
Thank you. All right, forearms. Can you call them four eyes? You don't wear glasses. Forearms is just the best insult I can come up with there. So... I don't like Grievous, though. Like, Grievous is, like, he always makes
He's
me mad.
He's such a punk.
Like, he is.
So they go through and they have their little duel. And the first thing he does is, like, what we mentioned earlier in the news, that spinning lightsaber thing. It's
right.
His go-to move.
It is.
He always spins it, and he's coming at you like he's about to chop you up. He's like, ooh, I'm going to get you.
Right.
I'm going to get you. And then they block it, and it's like, now the battle started. So it's almost like an intimidation thing. But, I mean, it's the
Look
equivalent
what I can
of a...
Do.
Yeah. It's the equivalent of trying to, like, stare down a jet or something like that.
Pretty much.
It's like a propeller just going crazy. But as far as, like, that in that fight, like, they go through and they fight and all this other kind of stuff. And Asajj is obviously better.
Right.
Like, she cuts off one of his robotic arms. And immediately he goes, kill her. And all the battle droids come in. It's like, you punk. Like,
right,
come
like,
on.
Like, cheap move, dude. Like, you were about to lose.
Right.
But, of course, Grievous is full of cheap moves.
Oh, absolutely. Why do you think he just keeps slipping away and escaping all
I mean,
the time?
You're absolutely right.
He never
right.
stays for a fight. He escapes every time. If there's a way out, he'll find it.
Oh, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that move.
Yeah.
He has to be out in the blink of an eye.
Yep.
Oh, creepy. Okay, sorry. Poor Ventress gets shot in the shoulder, though. So she, like, tries to, like, limp away. Mm-hmm. And
one of her sisters come to help her, too.
Oh, yeah.
Which is so sad.
Because,
like, she's like, I got you, sister. And then she goes, and then some, like, crap battle droid comes up behind him and shoots her in the back. And she falls over, and I'm like, that was uncalled for.
Yeah, that was the other, like, Night Sister that they were starting to, like, kind of become friends.
Yeah.
The one that had the cool, like, mohawk.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but,
sad.
Yeah, it was just kind of like, and there wasn't anything to, like, they weren't fighting or anything. Like, the battle droid just literally walked up and goes, pew. It's like, okay, so you're going after Ventress. Why did you choose to shoot the person next to him? Like.
Right.
Like, what sense
does that make?
I guess because
she was already hurt that as long as they get the other one first.
I don't know.
It
doesn't make sense.
But she limps off to the woods. Grievous gets a call from Dooku. Dooku looking all bad still with his warts on his face or whatever
yes.
you call them, bumps.
His bubbles of toil and trouble.
Yes. And he's telling Grievous to eliminate Talzin mm-hmm. before she kills him because he's literally like in agony. He's in so much pain. And he's like, look for the green mist. But that's where you'll know she is.
Mm-hmm.
So, Dooku starts marching that way with his army, and a creepy part happens right here. This is pretty nightmare worthy. Talzin, like, rises up from Dooku's stomach.
Oh, yes!
Yeah! And,
it's like a haunting.
Right, and yeah, it really was.
Yeah.
And she says to Dooku, she tells him to leave, call off the army, and leave Dathomir.
Mm-hmm.
Dooku looks at her and says, and let you and that traitor continue plotting against me? Never.
Yeah.
Talking about Ventress.
Yep.
And then Towson says, well, you're going to die either way. It's only a matter how painful it will be. Yikes, Dooku. You probably should just called him off. That's just my opinion.
I mean, in all honesty, Towson thought she had it in her court.
She did.
At the moment.
At the moment. So Grievous and his army are marching up to the temple. They fire some rocket launchers at it, killing some of the Night Sisters. He then is able to grab Odaka, because they're in that same little area where Talzin was, those Night Sisters. And he grabs Odaka and actually puts a lightsaber through her.
Yeah.
Killing
her. Which, by the way, so commentary on this whole thing proves how much of a coward Grievous is. Because, for one, we saw earlier that he, as soon as he felt like he might have been losing a little bit, he unleashed the whole army on Ventress so that way he wouldn't lose. Now, in this moment, he busts through the wall. One of the Night Sisters falls down, and she's, like, begging for her life, and he shoves a lightsaber through her, then goes up to the oldest thing in the room and just picks her up and just shoves it. Like, I mean, it's just like he goes after the weakest, right, and the ones that, like, while you're down. It's not a fair fight. He has no honor whatsoever. He's just a killer.
Well, I mean, I feel like he kind of knew what he was doing, though, because once Odaka is dead, all of the army of the dead, they fall.
That's true.
They are no more.
Mm-hmm. Well, not saying that he didn't know what he was doing, but it's the way he does his things.
You're right.
It's the way Grievous, because like I said, if he can't win, what's he going to do? He's either going to make it unfair or he's going to leave.
Right. No, you're right.
So, yeah.
They reach Towson, and they start shooting at her, and she actually, like, evaporates into a green mist.
Yes.
So I don't really know what she is. And I'm guessing she's just kind of like I guess she can just kind of
kind of change her form, I guess.
Yeah. She turns like a little green ball, I think.
Because she does show up later in the Clone Wars.
Well, she shows up in this episode, too.
Well, I mean, she shows up as a whole person. A whole witch. okay. Later on. So this isn't like her permanent. This isn't even her final form.
So creepy.
Yes, very, very.
So I guess at this point we can kind of assume that most of the Night Sisters are dead, if not all.
All of them. Wiped them all out.
Oh, wow.
The only surviving member, technically, is Ventress and Towson.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So we start Ventress running through the woods, limping away because she got shot in the shoulder. And who better to appear to her than 2000?
Of course.
Another 1000 appears and telling her that it's over. Ventress essentially, like, bows out. Kind of like, it's all my fault. Like, what do I do? Where do I go from here? I can't believe this is happening. I don't know, just kind of having this, like, little pity moment for herself, essentially.
Oh, absolutely.
And Towson replies, well, this chapter's over. Your destiny will always be linked with ours, but you have your own path to follow now.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And Ventress essentially kind of has another pity party. She's like, no, you can't leave me here. And Towson disappears into the fog.
Well, right. The episode ends in true horror movie fashion. It's kind of like complete hopelessness.
Right. I mean, it is. Mm-hmm. I just thought it was interesting about Towson's little... What did you get from Towson's little line where she says, this chapter is over, your destiny will always be linked with ours, but you have your own path to follow now.
So it sounds wise and compassionate and all helping and full of heart, but I don't think it was that at all. Kind of like what we mentioned earlier, Towson has her own thing.
Her own...
agenda. Yeah, motive. In all honesty, when she said the chapter is over, your destiny will always be linked with ours, I think it was more of a, yeah, so we lost. your destiny is linked with ours because you kind of take an oath. You're a Night Sister. Kind of the last of us. We'll call on you when we need you. Kind of thing like that is what I took of that. But she's like, but you have your own path to follow now. And that part, it's just like, aw, Mother Towson. Except she's like, no, just that way, I guess. Do that.
Right.
Do the thing. We'll call on you later. It's fine.
See, most of it, I kind of got that. But for the whole, like, your destiny will be linked with ours, but you have your own path to follow.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that almost, what I kind of got from that was like a, well, once you pick up the pieces, I'll be back.
Yeah, right.
Like, once you kind of get things figured out, I'll show up conveniently.
Right. Once your life is all together and you have it just the way you like it.
Right.
Then I'll show up.
Exactly. Like, once she's kind of got knocking. Something going for her again.
Right.
She'll show back up in her life and be like, oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Ventress sister, like, oh, I missed you.
Yeah. Oh, family reunion.
Pretty much.
But yeah, because, I mean, like I said, Talzin does show up again. In the Clone Wars, I don't think we ever see Ventress and Talzin interact again. I think this is kind of the final moment for them. In the Dark Disciple novel, I haven't read it, but I've heard that there's some stuff with Mother Talzin in there as well. Because that's where Ventress and Quinlan Vos team up, which is interesting. Heard it's a really great book, so we definitely need to read that. But yeah, so she kind of appears back in that, and then a Darth Maul comic series, Son of Dathomir, that's canon as well. She appears back in that for Maul. So other than that though, yeah, Ventress and Talzin never cross paths again.
Right.
And so it just kind of is what it is. And Ventress goes on to live a bounty hunter's life.
She does.
Yeah.
She most definitely does. So we see her, a few times.
Absolutely. She's very, very pivotal role in Ahsoka's framing.
Yes.
So, yeah. Is.
So.
But, yeah.
But, kind of linking back up with that fortune cookie, Danny.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Yeah, we'll read it again real quick for you, so that way we can kind of let our listeners know.
Sure, sure.
What it is. So, back to that fortune cookie. It says, one must let go of the past to hold on to the future. Mm-hmm. So, did you get any, like, aha kind of moments there with that?
I didn't. The only thing I can think of that it means is it seems like it's more so relating to Ventress.
Yeah.
Because what did she do when she had no place to go? She went back home. Because she was part of the sisters before. It's where she came from.
Right.
However, she was to be trained as a Jedi first and then was taken by a Sith. But that's a whole other story. but yeah, so that's the only thing I can think of, is because she went back home and was hoping for a place there, but she had to let go of everything there forcefully in order to be able to move on to what was in store for her going forward. So kind of like what Talzin says at the end, the chapter's over, your destiny will always be linked with ours, but you have your own path to follow now. So that's what I was kind of thinking. What did you think?
Honestly, that's pretty much what I thought. I kind of figured the cookie was more so like a future thing. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, it is a fortune cookie.
But not telling the past.
But, I mean, I think, because at the end of this episode, I think we see a lot of guilt in Ventress because she comes home to kind of find her way again and essentially, because of her choices and her path, bad things have followed her.
Absolutely.
And have taken out everything she knew. Mm-hmm. So I feel like there's some guilt with her at the moment. Absolutely. I don't feel like we'll see that guilt very long, mm-hmm. because it's Ventress. Like, I feel like she's kind of cold. But at the end, we do feel that guilt and see it as she's, like, asking Mother Talzin, like, what do I do? Where do I go from here? Mm-hmm. So I kind of think it's the cookie kind of really shows up at the end, kind of with her having to kind of let go of her guilt of, mm-hmm. what happened in order for her to, like, live.
Mm-hmm. So, and I agree with that. And in something you said about Ventress, how she was cold and everything. So I think, at least in my opinion, that's what makes Ventress so interesting, is that she's not as cold as she seems.
I mean, you're
cares,
right.
She cares more than she cares to admit.
Right.
She puts on that tough front and that tough exterior, but when it came down to helping Ahsoka, she helped Ahsoka.
Well, not only Ahsoka, but she's helped Obi-Wan before,
too. She's helped Obi-Wan, yeah.
When it came to Maul and Savage another, mm-hmm. time, she helped Obi-Wan get out of it.
And it was like common enemy, let's do this thing. Right. But, I mean, that's the thing, is like, it's always under these guises of, oh, it's common enemy, might as well do it anyways, or, oh, looks like we're in this again, da-da-da-da, or something like that. But Ventress cares. She's not evil through and through like a lot of Sith Lords, like Dooku, like Grievous. She's not rotten to the core. She's redeemable. And I think that's what's interesting about her character is that she's got a lot of depth that I don't think a lot of people give her credit for.
Right.
So I don't know. She's one of my favorite characters in Clone Wars for that matter. She's very interesting.
Yeah. I can agree with that, though. I do think she can be a redeemable person. And I think we get a little glimpse of redemption in her here and there, especially when, like you said, when it comes to her helping Ahsoka, her helping Obi-Wan. Mm-hmm. Like, I wonder if we'll see her again. Like, I wonder if she'll show back up in Clone Wars.
In the season 7?
Uh-huh.
That would be... I think it would be awful if she didn't. I would love for her to be honest.
You think she could show up as, like, an ally, maybe?
Oh, absolutely.
That'd be really cool.
Absolutely. It would be cool to see if she has any part in the Siege of Mandalore.
Ooh, what if she's like one of Ahsoka's friends now? What if once Ahsoka leaves the Jedi Order, she like, not necessarily hooks up with Asajj to do the things that Asajj does, because at this point Asajj is a bounty hunter. But, right. You know what I mean? Like, to kind of call on her as like a friend when she needs help or something. You know what I mean?
I think that's a possibility. I think that's definitely a possibility, because there's a time between when Ahsoka leaves the Order going forward that we don't really know about.
Exactly.
So, I mean, it stands to reason that their paths could have crossed at some point. I know Ahsoka still doesn't think much of her, but at the same time, I mean, Ventress really doesn't think much of her either.
Right.
But she has this knack of becoming the unwilling ally, and she could just turn on them, but she doesn't.
Right.
So there's something else to her, and she's different. And I think that's what's cool about Ventress and Ahsoka, is that both of them, I mean, as heartbreaking as it is to say, both of them had their established homes turn on them.
Yeah.
With Dooku, with the Jedi Order, and they were both cast out. And you see how they both dealt with it differently. Ventress basically was like, you know what, I got these talents. I got to make a living. Let's do this thing.
Yeah.
And Ahsoka went on the run and tried to be a mechanic and stuff like that. Like, the things that she knew how to do. They both went back to the things that they knew how to do.
Right.
And I don't know. There's just something interesting about those characters, really unpacking those characters and their personalities and stuff, that is really cool. Maybe a future episode.
Maybe.
But yeah. So did you have any final thoughts on the episode or anything like that?
I don't. It's definitely creepy.
Absolutely.
Very fitting for our Monster Madness.
Absolutely.
Halloween edition.
Definitely.
But other than that, I didn't have anything else to add. Did you?
No. I completely agree with you on all of those levels.
All right.
This one's intense.
It was. It's a good episode. It kind of falls a little bit further down the line of the arc of it. But, I mean, I'm sure, you know, if you haven't, if you haven't watched it, you're a little crazy, but it's okay. We still love you. Just go through and watch it. It's really good. You just gotta figure out which one starts this arc. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I'm not really sure either. I think it's just a couple episodes before, but it's a long arc though.
It is.
That I think spans across a couple seasons because of Maul's return and all that. I mean, it literally falls within that story.
It does.
Maul's return and Savage, the creation of Savage, all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, it's a really cool story. Like, in all honesty, if nothing else in Clone Wars, which, be honest, you love Clone Wars, but if nothing else in Clone Wars catches your interest, watch the whole Darth Maul arc. Not just the 3-4 episodes of it. Everything that has to do with it. Tying into the Night Sisters, Asajj, Savage, Opress, all of that. Everything about it. Trust me, you will love that story.
Yeah, it is really good.
It's such a great story. It's probably one of the best stories in there. Right up there with Ahsoka, the Wrong Jedi arc. I thought that one was amazing, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's great writing. It's a lot of fun. A lot of creepy, if that's what you're into.
A lot of creepy, yes. It's like a whole arc of creepy.
Absolutely.
So, but yeah.
One long horror story.
Pretty much.
But yeah, so cool. So if we don't have anything else, I think we can go ahead and close out the episode.
Yeah.
Cool. So thanks everyone for listening or watching another episode of Kessel Run Weekly. If you enjoyed this week's episode, please make sure to rate and review us on iTunes. Leave us a 5-star review and we'll read it on a future episode. Also, speaking of future episodes, I think we can finally announce our final episode of the month that we've been keeping quiet this whole time.
Sure.
So, on October 31st, Halloween, We actually are going to do a fandom crossover episode with Harry Potter and Star Wars, focusing on The Chosen One. So it's really interesting. It was a really fun conversation that we had with our guests, and definitely check it out. All Hallows Eve is a very important time for Mr. Potter, and it's a lot of fun for us to talk about because there were a lot of really surprising similarities between Harry Potter and Star Wars.
Yeah, there was a lot of similarities that we found that I don't think we really realized until we just kind of started sitting down and really kind of talking about, because this was a fun idea that kind of got thrown at us back when we did our family episode.
Yeah.
And we just found the perfect time to kind of...
We never thought that we would do anything with Harry Potter, considering, you know, we're a Star Wars podcast.
True, yeah. But the similarities just kept rolling in, so yeah, we went with it, and it's just, I think y'all are going to enjoy it.
It's a lot of cool story, a lot of stuff. We talk about some fantastic beasts that our guests bring. So, a lot of cool stuff. So, definitely check it out. October 31st, next Wednesday.
Woo-hoo.
Very excited. Man, Halloween snuck up on us.
It really did.
But yeah, guys, so you can also find us on social media at Kessel Run Weekly on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and on our website, KesselRunWeekly.com. And if you have a show suggestion or comment or any kind of thing that you want to send to us that's, hey, this is cool, your cool theory or wild theory or whatever it is, on our website, we have this little neat suggestion box that you can send us an email straight from there. So if email is not your thing, just do it on our website, KesselRunWeekly.com. We'll be happy to read it on the show. And yeah, so cool. So guys, until next time, my name is Danny.
And I'm Kristen.
And may the Force be with you.
Always.